challenging all of us in the church of today, his church of today, that we have got to be about doing the Father's business. Well, how are we going to do that? So we're looking at some areas, about two or three areas, but that what got us into this was looking back in what we would read in Matthew, I'm sorry, Luke. I want to read it in Luke. Read it in First John, or John 1:3, and then we looked at it in Matthew and Luke, though. And this is talking about how it comes out of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. But we find John the Baptist now repeating that same word. And in Luke 3, I like how it says here about this. It says here that, John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Anybody there been in the wilderness, huh? And he went about or into the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And that it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying this, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And so as I looked at that several weeks back, it's like I'm making his path straight, his things preparing, and we are on this now understanding of what this is a mission for all of us. We're all ministers of the gospel. And remember how we were talking about how the desert place is a picture of life's trials and sufferings. And we all have deserts. Some are possibly in deserts now, I don't know. But we have had in our lives trials and sufferings. We're not immune to these things. But our faith need not be hindered by the crisis. Actually, the crisis in our lives, if we look at it, to builds up and to encourage our faith, it will help sustain our faith if we look at it in the right light and not complaining. And that's what we want to look at today a little bit, about how we can make this example to those around us. So we're preparing the hearts, we're preparing the paths for him. And so we're speaking to people out amongst, away from the church, away from his kingdom. And how are we to prepare that? Well, we talked about last week, quickly here, about we prepare the person by explaining their need for forgiveness. And we looked at 1 John 1:9, talking about the sins. We all have sins. And so we talked a little bit about those areas. What I want to do today is I want to look at the next area, you know, because we have to let people know you got sin in your life. It's not to call them out, but it's just to say we have all sinned and fall short, right? And so it's not just, well, they look at you like, oh, you're a do-gooder or, oh, you're one of them. No, I was right where you're at, and I can tell you this. I have got what you need to help you through getting this sin thing taken care of and to repent and knowing that there's someone out there, someone that has come so that your sins can be forgiven from you. And not just covered over, but to be washed as white as snow. So today I want to look at the demonstrating of Christ's teachings for our conduct. You know, your conduct as a Christian speaks highly to the people out there. Your workplace, your friends, your family. And your family is the ones that really want to really get into you to try to get you to say something like, hey, come on, I thought you were a strong Christian. Come on, what's going on? Oh, it's out there. But I think we need to look at, we talk about letting the people know there's sin in your life, but there's a place and a person that has come to take care of that. And we will explain that as the Spirit would give you the utterances and sharing his word for sure. The next thing we got to look at is we look at the things of our conduct demonstrates the teachings of Christ in your own life. Do you believe what you read about his word? To live it? To exemplify it? To show it? Now we've come out of a crazy time, as we always have come out of crazy times this last years and years, you know. But we're still in crazy times, and I'm just wondering where all this is going to lead with the current election and the things that are being said and things not being said and how the numbers fell and how they didn't fall. All I can tell you guys is that whenever man has his hand in something, it can be distorted or changed. That's the evil of this world. But if we put our faith in the poll numbers, we're not putting our faith in God. If we put our faith even in people that have projected different ways of this thing to go, and we think this or that, and it doesn't go that way, I hope it doesn't take the wind out of your sails or the wind or the air out of your balloon of the things of God is still in control. Who's ever in that office, however the way he comes into it or she would come into it, my God is my source. My God is my provider. My God will take care of me. Now, is he just going to take care of me, or is your God the same God that I'm talking about? I mean, are you going to nod your head? Like when I say my God, because I'm telling you what, I'm on a personal relationship with my God. Okay, I'm not just reading a story and just believing something that a church puts out or some organization and says, boy, that sounds like a nice thing that I'd like to hold on to, and it sounds like a great story. I'm living it, guys. Are you living it? I got to do better. I'm not perfect. But I've got to know that my God is in control. My God is in charge. I don't care what happens. I don't care what comes upon this nation. I don't care who, what, or where is in the office of whatever elected official. You know what I'm going to do? What my God tells me to do? I'm going to do what, as you all are going to do if he's your same God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for him or her or them or them. Whoever it is. So be it. And so we have got to, and I think now this is the time, and I think this is, we talked about in the beginning of the year how the situation with the COVID and shaking the church, shaking the nation, showing the church how fast things change, how we sometimes just cavalierly or just kind of just mention how God says the suddenlies of God. Suddenly this will happen. Suddenly this will happen. The thief will come. The thief will do this. I never had an understanding to the point of really seeing how things can change in a society as it has this year, 2020. And then all of a sudden, I'm going, oh my goodness, God. this suddenly is really suddenly. I was thinking suddenly was like, it won't happen in my lifetime. You know, I got 80, 100 years, 120. I don't know. My suddenly is going to be like 130, and I'm going to be out of here at 120, you know? But all of a sudden, I've witnessed it, and you witnessed it, and it's like these suddenlies have happened, and I've seen lives change, and I've seen our nation change, and I've seen churches change, and I've seen this change, and I've seen that change. And you know, the only thing that hasn't changed is who? God, God, God. And I think God is up there at times laughing at us for some of us that thought we were so close and connected to him. And he said, oh, where were you? Why is this causing you to tremble? Why is this causing you to wonder? Why is this causing you to stumble? Why is this causing you to think that I am not God and I am not in control? But he's still God. He's still in control. And I'm still going to pray. And I'm still going to give him glory. But the world is going to possibly look at the conduct of the church. When Jesus was brought before Pilate and all those, wasn't there lies? Deceptions? Things told about him that he didn't do? And the governors of Pilate, I find nothing of what you say of words to this man that would deserve him of death. You do what you want, but I cleanse my hands of this. It was the religious, the learned, the educated, you know, the church that really crucified Christ. Will the church of today do that same thing? I don't know. I don't know. Probably not to that extent, of course. But I'm just saying to share this that lies, deceptions, truths, untruths, things have been around since the beginning. And if we're on this side of heaven, don't ever get to the peace and point in your life that thinks that everything's going to be good and everything's going to be true and everything's going to be honest and it's going to flow the good way. It's not going to flow the good way on this side of heaven, guys. But that doesn't give us cause to complain. Doesn't give us cause to make a scene. Doesn't give us a cause to speak out against that God is still in control and knows what's going on. Conduct. The conduct of a Christian. The conduct of a person that says, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I serve the God, the one and only God. If that's on my nameplate or over me, then people better see a little difference in me than what they see in the people out there. If that's over our church, they better see this church a little different than what the world is showing out there. If it's over you, they better see a little difference in what's going out there than what's going on in your life with the things of this age, the things of this world, the things of whatsoever is going on. The conduct of the Christian is part of that of preparing the way, preparing the paths, P-A-T-H-S, paths of God. We talked about the paths, more than one. It's not to say there's more than one way into heaven, right? We had to clarify that. Jesus tells us that. There's only one way into heaven. But there's multiple paths to come to God. Our paths are our lives. And so as we look at everyone's lives out there, I'm glad they're not all on my path, because at times when I've gone to the city or Chicago or Madison and it's been, you know, traffic congestion, I didn't want all those people on my path. It was, you know, vapor locked or whatever. You couldn't go anywhere. So there's not too many, and there's some on my path of how did I come to God? How did you come to God? How did you come to God? And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. As we look around, I don't recall seeing any of you on my path. But we all had come and have come to a common focus, a common entity, of that of God. God wooed us and drawed us and drew us to Him by that of the Holy Spirit. People in the past might have cultivated you, might have prepared the land, might have cleared the land, might have broke up the soil, might have planted a little seed or his seed. Some came along and watered. Others came along and did more encouraging and more teaching and things. And then, but God does the harvest. That's what happened on my path. I had many people sowing and plowing and plowing and sowing and helping weed and de-weed. And I allowed weeds to get in because I didn't want that and I want this and I blep, 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 blep. But I got far enough along with him that finally the Holy Spirit began to say, tug on my heart. And finally I came to the understanding and the sense to understand that it was up to who to receive more of God? Me. I had to make a decision. I had to make a call. Boom! I had to finally get it within myself to say, enough playing church, enough playing the things of God, enough of making it seem good or put a little bit of time in on Sunday to make it like I'm a Christian. And it finally got to the point when I said, that was so good that I spent a little bit of a few hours on Sunday with you, God. And God spoke to my spirit a few days later when I was so happy that he says, but I spent every day and every hour with you. And you're happy because you spend 2 hours with me on a Sunday? I'm going to just say this. When the Spirit gets a hold of you and begins to speak into you, he did say it kind of kind, Doug. I mean, it wasn't mean, you know. But I could just kind of tell. He was like, so you think you're so big in my kingdom? Our conduct. So today we're going to look at Philippians 2, 14 to 16. It says this, do all things without what? Complaining. And does anybody know of a church out there that doesn't have people complaining? We're almost perfect here. Almost. But we have complaints. Sometimes it's just me. I don't know. I'm complaining. Lord, these people. No. Do all things without complaining or grumbling and disputing, arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless, innocent, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now hold fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of the Christ, in Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul sharing these things. Teaching them. the Philippians about these things. But we've got to look at this, that we, remember, this is talking about the demonstrating of Christ's teachings by our conduct. Demonstrating Christ, demonstrating the things of God by the church. And I'm going to tell you, there's buildings out there that have a sign on the front that says CHURCH, but I don't know what church they're about. What is that? Why do I say that? Because there's churches out there that are not sticking to whose word? God's word. They're scared to call sin, sin. They're scared to stand up for God. They're scared to speak of the Holy Spirit as alive and active today. They're scared to speak that you can be led by the Spirit. I go out and I tell my pastor friends, I hear from the Spirit of God and He speaks to me. I don't know about you. But you can have Him if you want Him. We have buildings that are classifying themselves as churches. We have people that are calling themselves Christian. And yet they're so far away and so far removed from the things of what God stands for. Getting back to this year and where we're at. Shared with some of our pastor friends that we meet with every week on Wednesday. Coffee prayer. I said, God is shaking up the church. And we're going to see how the church handles this COVID-19 pandemic. And we're going to see how they survive. And if they're surviving only by people coming in the doors and making them feel good so they drop a 10, a 20, a 100 into the plate so they can pay their light bills, things might be a-changing. But if God is the source, if God has planted that work in the city or out in the field, I like that, Doug, last week when you said, this might be the best place to be, off of the beaten path. Kind of hidden out here. Now they've taken down the corn. Now they can find us. Oh, man. We're going to have camouflage netting and put over the building now or something. I don't know. But if it is truly a work and a call from God, I don't care if there's just one person attends, the doors will stay open if God is blessing that and says, this is where my word is coming from. This is a church or a body of believers that believes in what I say is what I say. He will bless it, He will sustain it, and He will protect it. I've seen numbers up and I've seen numbers down. Doesn't change God. If I can do what I can do up here on this pulpit is to please my God, I believe you will be pleased as well. If it's some things that I say that line up with God's word and they don't line up with, you know, what you think, well, let's just part ways and be friends. That's okay. But we cannot take away what God's word says about things of this age that we live in, but we've also got to be reflective of that love of Christ. And so the thing is, as a conduct of the Christian, as his church, as kingdom people, I'd rather be called kingdom people than Christian sometimes, you know. You know, a Christian, that didn't really come from God. That came from those putting them up on that label. The world labeled us back in those days. It wasn't called Christian until they said, oh, it's those Christians. They had to come up with some name. But I'm a follower of Christ. I belong in a different kingdom than this world. For this kingdom is not of my kingdom. I belong to a much better, greater, powerful kingdom. And as the Spirit of God is in me and moving in me, wherever I go, guess what? The kingdom of heaven goes with me. I've shared sometimes back about how far really this nation, they need us. They just don't know it. I'm going to tell you, if this nation was pulled out, if all those of true authority of God working in them and followers of Christ and kingdom citizens, if we said enough is this, we're going to go find an island in the South Pacific, all of us, let's leave. This country would fall apart. It's not to be boastful, not to be prideful, but I just know who I am in Christ and how Christ blesses me. And as I am blessed, I can bless those around me. Or I can bless, or the nation will be blessed, the city. Folks, we've got to get this down from the big thing, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time thinking of the big thing. I got to get down small. My city is blessed because I live here. My neighborhood is blessed because I reside there. Hallelujah. But it's not being prideful or, ooh, look at who you are. But I just know that God lives in me and His Word. If His Word, is His Word true? His Word is true. Okay, we got to get that understanding. Because there's people out there that debate that. Even churches. Whatever that building is called by church. But if God's Word is true and it says what it says, we are important in this society. But we've got to show love, grace, mercy. That sounds like somebody I know. God shows love, grace, mercy. I want God to live in me, through me, so that I can touch hearts and lives out there, so that there can be a difference in their life like it's been in mine. Remember, I said I'm not perfect yet. We're on this road of continuing. But at least I'm on the road and I'm desiring to change. I like how in Philippians, it also, in my Bible, one translation I looked at, it called about being light bearers. As heavenly bodies shine forth in brightness against the blackness of the night, so the lives of true Christians lighten the moral darkness of the world. Go back to Matthew, but this is where you kind of talk about light bearers. We are light bearers. Didn't Jesus say this about the Beatitudes, and believers are salt and light? So this is in Matthew 5 and 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." We cannot be hidden. The light of Christ, the light of God, will shine forth the brightest in a darkest time. Amen. But he's telling them there that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. Don't glorify me. You glorify my Father in heaven. If you say, and here's sometimes how the world, remember, the world, and you know, I've been guilty of saying this, probably just me, none of you guys, because you guys are pretty nice. But haven't you ever heard this thing the world will say when somebody does something kind of not right? And they'll say, well, let's see, I don't know who's not here. Is there a... we don't have any Allens here, do we? Well, Al, and he's not the brightest bulb in the pack. Sometimes I'll say that about myself. You know what, guys? I'm not the brightest bulb in this room, I guess, you know? And I guess I'm really saying that I shouldn't be saying that, because I should be the light. Ooh, brighter. Ooh, you know? Yeah, that. If I would have just waited, it would have happened. But, you know, we'll say that in the world, like, oh, you're not the brightest, or he's not the brightest one, and, you know, all these things. But you know what? In God's kingdom and God's plan for us, we are to be that light, and we should be the brightest bulb in your job, the brightest bulb in your neighborhood, the brightest bulb in your family. Whatever the case might be, we should just be shining the brightness of that of Christ in us. Because we're light bearers. And I'm going to say, and I think about this, that, you know, in the times and the trials and things that we're into, that people, and it was, you hear some of the stories out there, I guess, but there's a lot of people even sometimes going to the church to figure out things in the society that we live in, and what's this going on, and what's happening, and what's this, and what's that? As we are bright, it'll be like moths that are drawn to the light at night in a summer's night. They'll come to the light, us as Christians. They'll fly up there, land on your shoulder. No, that's the real moth. Okay. They'll come up to you. They'll say, why are you so happy? Why are you so assured? Why are you so at peace? Because we know that peace and anxiety, it's running rampant out there right now, guys. Total anxiety, total lack of peace, total lack of comfort. To be honest with you, I had to come out of that this past couple of weeks back, and I had to say, oh, no. I'm still on your side, God. And I just, whatever it is, you know, pray about it, keep it going. I'm not going to say those things. But I hear a lot of people, many people say, if you want to have peace, turn off the news. If you want to get rid of your anxiety, get yourself off of Facebook. Get yourself off of Twitter. Get yourself off of anything out there that is just sending, yes, some good things, but also a lot of crazy bad things that are not true, lies. Just somebody throws something out there and it goes around the world like in 15 seconds. And all of a sudden they go, it's had 3 million hits. It's got to be true. No, there's just 3 million gullible people out there. That's all it's really saying for a society. They're not, it's not